Good day, and thank you for checking out the Sportsline podcast here on CHCH. I'm Bubba O'Neill. Hey, I'll continue to boast day after day that Hamilton, Halton, and Niagara, it's a hotbed for successful team sports executives, broadcasters, and in today's case, an athlete turned entrepreneur. Let's get down to business. Here's a wonderful example of someone that had a dream, worked hard, and it all came together. Naturally gifted as a dancer, Tiffany Adoretti parlayed her abilities to entertain sports fans here in Hamilton to her present role. Her responsibilities led her to being a head coach and a choreographer, in which improved her leadership skills. With that passion for dance still burning, well, after retirement from sports over a decade ago, Tiffany is now an owner and instructs women of all ages at the Caledonia Studio of Dance. Tiffany Adoretti, seriously, so young, so accomplished, and it's fabulous that you've joined us here on the Sportsline podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I list off those accomplishments. I've seen you in action, and I'll tell you, you've got to be, I know you won't want to believe that you're done doing what all that you want to do, but when you look back a little bit, and I know they say don't look back too much,
yep.
You got to be pretty proud.
I am really proud, and to hear it all, like you had just said all at once, it's kind of crazy, because as you're going through it, you don't feel, you're going through the motions, but when you have time to reflect and see all the things you have accomplished, it's pretty cool.
And you think about all the relationships that you build along the way, the friendships, even some people that are there for just a temporary part of your life and maybe you learn a little bit from.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely accredit my background in sports and marketing. I had the great opportunity to work with the Ticat organization and the Bulldogs organization, and the networking that you get to have in the sports industry is like no other, I tell you. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
And I think for someone like us here, and especially a lot of people watching this broadcast, you are Hamilton through and through.
I am probably, arguably, the proudest born and raised Hamiltonian you will find, I think. I bleed black and gold, and yeah, I've moved away, and I've come back to town, and I just, this is my home.
What is it about it? What is it about this steel town?
Well, my whole family's from here. I could walk down the street to my one set of grandparents and around the corner to the other set. So this community is ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to move away, and I didn't find the same opportunities that I see here, especially obviously in the triple threat industry, singing, dancing, acting, to be so close to Toronto, and have just such a artistic culture in this town. There's nothing like it. So,
well, it's funny that you bring that up, because I think this is something that I continually brag to people. You talk about what's going on in Hamilton, the arts, the food, all this stuff. It's on a high right now, and it's just soaring right now, and people are flocking to Hamilton for things like the arts.
It's great. Everything. Arts, food, just the talent that we have coming out of this city is like no other. And it's funny because way back when I started my dance studio, I said, I want to make this area known for its great talent. And I really feel like that's come to fruition now, because just of the kids and the talent that we have in this city alone. It's awesome.
Well, you again, a dance owner right now as well, too, teaching people of all ages, as I spoke about. But where did this all come from? were you like the young one dancing in front of the TV when you're 4 years old?
I sure was. I was in the dance studio as early as 3 years old.
Wow.
I started classes, and it's never left. I continued. I dabbled in other sports. Mm-hmm. Did baseball for a bit. Broke my nose. Did the synchronized swimming thing. Mm-hmm. I always had to be busy, but dance was the only consistent thing in my life. I was the little kid that was making up dance routines on my driveway and then inviting my neighbors to come watch my show. True
Did you
story.
Charge them?
And I didn't. No, I should have actually. Now I'm going to go back and ask. But no, yeah, that was me as a kid. So it's just always been something that I've been naturally drawn to. Mm-hmm. And then in the dance studio that I grew up in, my teacher was very passionate about instilling the love of dance and like the whole performance atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about competition or winning a awards. It was just about expressing yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just really took to that. And I try to teach that to my students today too, that, it's not about the accolades all the time. It's about being able to express yourself. We're lucky that we get to perform and express our feelings through dance. I think it's just a beautiful thing.
Was there a particular type of dancing? Like, was it like, I don't know, disco or jazz or, I don't know.
Keep going.
I don't know, the rumba. Was it like just a variety of things that you fell in love with?
Yeah, so typical studios come with the basics, the ballet, tap, jazz. That's where you usually start in, and then you can branch out into other styles. Mm-hmm. I started in jazz, and then every year, ask my mom if I could add another class, another style. Nowadays, there's a plethora of styles. There's acrobatics, there's contemporary, there's hip-hop and breakdancing, and there's so many more now. Mm-hmm. But the basics and the strongest for your foundation would be the tap jazz ballet.
Well, that's amazing that you bring that up, because I think we have so many shows on television right now that feature all these types of dances right now. And again, for someone like yourself, and you're looking at these shows, a lot of these shows are being judged all over North America, all over the world, actually, some of these shows. So it really is a growing industry.
It's so cool to see it become more in the mainstream. When I grew up, I didn't get to see that on TV. I would see, you know, singing shows and sports shows and nothing with dance. So then when So You Think You Can Dance was one of the first major TV competitions. When that came out, it was, first of all, the coolest thing for me to sit and watch, but to watch the industry shift and become more in everyone's home. I saw a big surge at my studio with boys starting dance and hip hop, because it kind of made it, I always knew it was cool, but when it got on the television, it's when it really kind of picked up in everyone's home.
Let's get rid of, I guess, a stigma right now. Cheerleading, which we're going to get to here, and dance, you are an athlete.
Yeah. Don't fight me on this. This is, we hear it time and time again, but absolutely the strength, the stamina, the endurance you need to have in dance and cheerleading is, I would say, arguably the same as any other sport, really. Honestly, you need the stamina and endurance to get through the routines and the flips and the tricks that we perform, and with a smile on our face, let you know. I don't think you have to smile when you're trying to score a goal. So all the things that attribute to a dancer and a cheerleader is definitely athletic.
I just wanted to get that out of the way, because I know that's something that really just bothers a lot of people. Actually bothers me, because I think about the core strength of all this takes, and I think it's just an amazing thing. Now, you think about what's going on right now when you started your cheerleading. What brought you to being a cheerleader?
Like I said, loved everything to do with Hamilton. I remember my year-end baseball trip for my team. My coach took us to the Ticat game, and we sat in the end zone, and I'm going back to like mid-90s. And I remember sitting there just not watching a second of the football game, but just staring at the cheerleaders like, wait a minute, what is this? I didn't know these people existed. And from that moment on, it was, I didn't realize, but I was manifesting, like, that's what I want to do. I want to do it in this city. I want to be a cheerleader. And I literally had it written down in high school. Like, when I graduate, that's the first thing on my list, is to be a cheerleader. I just love that it combines dancing, performing, and your community all together in one.
But you're doing it in front of 25,000 people. That's got to be a difference.
No, it's great. It's so awesome. It's such a thrill. I just literally can still envision the people cheering. My dad actually sat in a certain section at Iverwind Stadium. I can picture every time getting over there and being just so excited to perform in front of that that section. It's such a cool, cool feeling.
I think one of the things we also kind of bypass, like the football players, like the hockey players, like the lacrosse players and basketball players, hours and hours of practice and work.
Absolutely. Especially with dance and cheerleading, you need to be as tight as possible. You need to look the unison that you need to have on a team like that, especially at a professional level like the CFL or NFL. It's like no other. There's hours that go on that no one ever sees to make sure that we're on point.
You retire from the sport of cheerleading, and then what was it about ownership? Like, what? Why? Like, how? Was this something, the plan that you were like, okay, this is something I think I want to do and I can accomplish?
It actually wasn't. What's crazy is when I was little, if you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to be on Broadway. I wanted to be the star. I wanted to sing, dance, and act, and just perform in front of people. In my teen years, I got the opportunity to assist teaching at my local dance studio, and I just completely fell in love with it. Something like an area that I didn't even think really existed that would fulfill me like it did. So that's kind of where my ideas started to shift, and that I was like, you know what, I think I want to do this full time. This would be a wonderful career. After my dance career is over, I can then own a studio and teach young kids and instill the love in them themselves. So yeah, it happened a little bit later.
Well, to be honest, we had a guest on last week, and your name got brought up.
Uh-oh.
And we talk about people and how you touch people and how sometimes you know, I say it all the time. I turn on people turn on the TV and watch me doing the sports, and I just never know who's really listening.
Like, right.
I think people are listening, but there's someone that's really, really listening intently. And, you know, and thank God in some ways, too. Maybe I'm motivating someone, and you apparently did this with one of our previous guests. Let's have a listen.
So actually, I grew up with Tiffany.
Okay.
She taught me. I went to Caledonia Studio of Dance. I grew up dancing. And then, of course, when you turn 18, when you're graduating high school, you're like, what is the next move? I want to keep dancing. But obviously, you know, being a local dancer, you have to move on. You retire. So that's when I first got into the Thai Cats, because Tiffany, of course, she was my teacher and she did it. And I just wanted to be like her.
When you hear that, what is that? How do you feel?
That just basically sums up exactly why I do what I do. I remember Emily as a 12-year-old girl teaching her, and her being in the front row with the same enthusiasm and energy that she had in that interview. And she told me, I'm going to be famous one day. I'm going to be the next Miley Cyrus. I'm going to be on everyone's TV. You watch it. And I believed her because I just saw the drive behind her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly why I do what I do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. And I was touched by that too, because the fact that she identified, and, you know, because we have role models and mentors and people. And there's, again, as we talked about earlier, sometimes people strike us in different ways.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the fact that she remembered you, sometimes we forget about those people.
Exactly.
Right. And that you were such an impression upon her. That's an amazing thing. And let's continue on that sort of fact there about empowerment. And I know that's something that's really, really important to you, especially from a woman's standpoint.
Yeah, 100%. It's a crazy story how I kind of got into this whole women empowerment thing. It wasn't anything I really thought about doing. It just kind of fell in my lap. But at one point, there was a year that the Thai Cats decided not to have cheerleaders. It was in 2008 for many reasons. But I saw that and I was hurt, because my job is to raise children to pursue their dreams and go after what they want. My industry happens to be dance. So that team in particular is an amazing stepping stone after the kids graduate high school and want to go into the professional dance world. Thai Cat cheerleading, CFL cheerleading, perfect. So to get rid of that was disheartening to me, because I see all these little kids who are getting raised to want to be on that team, just like Emily said, and then to have it cut short was upsetting. So I wrote a post. It got shared thousands of times on Facebook about the importance of teams like that. Good thing they brought them back the next year. So maybe it did something. I don't know.
They were listening.
They were listening. But after that event, I thought, you know what? I'm going to start celebrating dance more. I'm going to get together all of the past cheerleaders whom, amazingly, mostly all live in the same area. When you cheerlead for a certain team, that's your home team. That's where you live. So you stay there after you retire. So I got them all together with a friend of mine, and we ran just like a little reunion, and it was super successful. Everybody had a great time. And we thought, you know what, this needs to happen more often. Why isn't this happening already? So from there stemmed a program that I started called Power Class, and it's for former dancers to train, to network, to connect, to be surrounded by like-minded women, and to just carve out time for themselves in the week, which we tend to not do once we become wives and mothers and business professionals. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and for many of those moves that you made, you have been celebrated, you have been nominated, you have been recognized with the likes of the Top 40 Under 40 Achievement Awards. You've been nominated for the Rogers Entrepreneur of the Year Award. we don't do these things for prizes and money and accolades, but to be recognized has got to feel good.
It's pretty validating to know. It's definitely a labor of love when you're an entrepreneur in any industry, but to get those awards is really validating to me to say that, you know what, I am making a difference. I am putting my effort into something good, and I'm leaving a good mark on, you know, the younger ones coming up behind me.
Let's go back to that cheerleading sisterhood that you have. And I think this is the best thing. Like, I mean, and we really, it really came, I think, forward to a lot of people that didn't know about it by this previous Grey Cup that just passed here in Hamilton, about the Canadian Football Cheerleaders Alumni Association.
Yeah.
Like,
say that three times fast.
I know, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. But I mean, and we look at some of these pictures again, like this isn't your class. This is like my class, yeah. Like my age group.
We span many years. Yeah.
Like, but they all showed up, mm-hmm. and not just Hamilton girls. Girls from women from all over the CFL.
Exactly. Yeah. What's so cool about this is from that reunion that me and my friend Andrea held, I was Googling, you know, what are some cool things we could do for cheer reunions? And I came across the NFL cheer alumni. Didn't know it existed. And me, having no fear, just emailed the lady. Her name's Terry, and she's from the Washington Redskins alumni, and she's the president down there. So I reached out. I said, how did you start this? And she just so lovingly just said, I will show you the way. And she basically helped me and my amazing partner and co-founder, Rayanne, how to start something like that in Canada. Mm. And what's cool is that it's never happened before where other CFL cheer teams have connected before. You may have your little alumni in Edmonton and then one in Montreal, but nothing that connected from coast to coast. So I'm super proud of this organization that we started.
And you put together a show for this year's Grey Cup.
Yeah, we got to perform in the Grey Cup Parade. We were at the Cheer Extravaganza, and it was women from, like you said, spanning over decades of Ticat cheer alumni that got together and performed on stage.
And for those older ones, because I can only think how I would feel for something like this, they must be in so many ways. First of all, great for this alumni to get together and see some faces that maybe they hadn't seen in a long, long time. But again, getting back to the empowerment thing, like that, seeing your leadership, you know, bringing everyone together. And this, again, not just a city thing, a cross-country thing.
Exactly. I'm super lucky to be friends with Megan, who runs the current cheer team. She was the one that initiated us getting to be involved in the Grey Cup events. And like you said, the women, it never leaves you. You know, once a dancer, always a dancer. So yeah, there were nerves, and we were, especially the older ladies who haven't stepped foot on stage in decades, but you never leave that never leaves you, that sense of like the desire to perform and be in front of people. It's just a feeling you can't get otherwise. So
well, I'd never seen you perform until I guess it must have been December. There was the amazing, outstanding Dancing with the Stars program at Michelangelo's. And you had the, I think, impossible task of training that man, the Bull, Eric Johnston.
That's right.
And you guys put together, and I was a judge, for people that don't know. You guys didn't win, but you were real close. I'm going to tell you that much. You were real close. But what was that experience like?
Oh, my God. It's a whirlwind. So I've been a part of the Dancing with the Stars for Easter Seals since about 2017. It's one of my absolute favorite charities to work with, just to see what the money goes towards. And it's helping Easter Seals, which is kids with physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. I work with kids every day. So to be able to help that with the accessibility and seeing the camp that they go to every summer, to make them feel, you know, the freedom that most kids get, is just on another level. But yeah, to work with Eric, it was really cool. I don't know who I get paired with every year. They just kind of tell me in September. Uh-huh. So when I heard I was with him, I thought, oh gosh, this is gonna be pretty wild. But then he told me on our first meeting that he actually had a tiny bit of dance experience growing up.
Okay.
So he let me know he was a tapper. So I played off of that for sure. I said, well, we got to do a tap routine, dust off the taps, and we hit it off. We had two great routines. We, like you said, fell a little bit short, but honestly, it's all about the, you know, raising the money and doing good for Easter Seals. So we had a blast.
How long did you get? How long did you guys have to work together?
You know what? We only have 2 months. Can you believe that?
What do you mean only 2 months? You had you had to bear with that guy for 2 months?
2 months, two routines, and only basically once a week. Uh-huh. So we got together for about maybe 1 to 2 hours a week, a little more the week of. We had to do a few more extra practices to nail everything down. But yeah, just once a week for 2 months, mm-hmm. and then put on the two routines in front of, I think it was 700 people.
Over 700 yeah. people. 750 people. That room was jammed. I didn't even think there was going to be that many people. I'm like, wow, you guys got a lot of guts. Because, I mean, it was a great, great show. Was he easy to work with?
He was lots of fun. Yeah. We definitely had some laughs. What's cool is now with all the social media, we were able to mm-hmm. kind of document each practice. Mm-hmm. So every time we were just laughing nonstop. I'm surprised we even got the work done because he's, as you know, is a funny, funny guy. So lots
yeah,
of fun.
There's no microphone that he's afraid of or camera. That's right. That is for sure. So what's next? Like what, I mean, obviously we look back, but what's forward? Do you even know what's coming forward?
Yeah, I have my dance studio, so that's where I have 450 young students that I teach 6 days a week for. I have a wonderful teaching staff that that we're doing that. I would love to see that grow. Caledonia is growing, so mm-hmm. hopefully I get more dancers in the door just to inspire them, even if they don't graduate and want to become a dancer, just mm-hmm. to know that there's so many life lessons you learn at a dance class: teamwork, leadership skills, you know, just the confidence to perform in front of others or speak in front of others. They're all learning that in the classroom. So to just continue reaching out to the youth and passing on my passion mm-hmm. for dance, that would definitely be number one. And number two, my women empowerment program, which is called Power Class, reaching out to the women to remind them that just because you're a mom, just because you have a career, doesn't mean you have to put dance on the back burner. Mm-hmm. It's once a week we practice. We actually have a show coming up on Friday.
Oh, really?
Where the women...
Where? Tell us now.
It's Friday, April 5th. It's at the Zoetic Theater in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And these women who span from 20s to mid-50s get to perform live on stage and show everybody what we've been working on for 10 weeks. So,
it's got to be great for them because they get that sense of accomplishment.
Exactly.
It's got to be special.
And you know what the coolest thing is a lot of them are moms and a lot of their children. It's a family-friendly event. They'll be in the audience watching the mom. So the tables turn mm-hmm. And the kids get to cheer on the moms. It's so cool. It's such a great event.
Well, I'll tell you, it's all about leadership. It's all about mentorship. It's all about, you know, setting that example. And Tiffany Adorante, you are doing a wonderful job in this community of doing just that. And to see where you've come from, and you know what, you could say you were just doing the cheerleading thing many moons ago, just to, you know, do your thing. But how you've parlayed that into what you're up to right now, setting that example for so many people, as women especially. Again, I think it's an amazing thing, and I'm really proud and happy that we were able to talk about that here on the Sportsline Podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support over the years, and you're just always someone that I see online cheering everybody on. So it's people like you that help us continue to share our message and support and empower people.
You'll come back soon?
Anytime.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, that's your Sportsline Podcast for the day. And as you've just seen and heard, we love talking sports with people that set that example and spread positivity, just like Tiffany. Please hit the thumbs up, like, and subscribe button. If you do believe that someone should be joining me here on the Red Couch, please comment and let us know. For the outstanding hands and minds that do make the Sportsline Podcast possible, thank you so very much, and we'll see you tomorrow.